Yeah, here we go now, baby. Right back into the action for another day of the week. Welcome to the Monday edition of Before You Bet, here live right now on the Covers YouTube and X channels on the heels of probably one of the best sports weekends of the entire year. We got a great big show planned for you guys today. Fun looking Monday night football game in Kansas City. The Chiefs playing host to the Saints. We got a couple of American League MLB playoff games. And in the second half of the show, Brad Powers will be here to recap a wild weekend in college football and also give out a couple of best bets. So, yes, low-key, that was one of the best sports weekends that we had all year. A bunch of NFL games going right down to the wire. We had the NFL game in London, full day of football there yesterday. Just a crazy day. So many upsets in college football. We're going to talk about that with Brad. We had the MLB playoffs, Phillies, Mets, insanity. We had a great main event of UFC 307, Alex Pereira, and of course, Detroit Pistons preseason basketball. A lot of excitement about that. Okay, so if you guys want to participate in the show, very easy to do so. Hit up that live chat on X. I was going to call it Twitter. And also on YouTube as well. A couple guys in there right now. Mark S. says, Joey's Dolphins won a football game. Indeed. But the helmet is not up. It's still down there. I told producer Mick, I said, if the Dolphins win and score 25 points, I'll put the helmet up. But they didn't deserve to win that game yesterday. A little bit more on that later, I guess. We're not going to spend too much time talking Dolphins-Patriots. But let's get into the NFL segment of the show. Let's go to my guy, the man with the sexiest smile in all of sports betting. Jingles, how was your weekend?
Joe, good to be here. Good to see you. Show picks went good. That Jeremy McNichols plus 500 that was at like plus 300 cashed, even though Brian Robinson did play. We had Nico Collins touchdown before he got injured. We got that DeAndre Swift 25 plus yards at plus 210. That was a good one. I don't think we'll get that price going in as his role keeps expanding. And Jalen Waddle cashed the ticket for us, bud. So, what was that number? I think it was 36.5, which is, I mean, it's Tyler Huntley, but it's still a wildly small number for Waddle in that game.
Yeah, let's go Dolphins. Only a game out of first place, guys. let's get serious. Okay, so let's start the Monday show like we typically do, our biggest winners and biggest losers out of the Sunday NFL games. I'm going to get us started here, and we're going to start positive. And my biggest winners, the biggest winner was the Witching Hour. On Red Zone, so many of these games went right down to the wire, both in the early window and the late window. Baltimore-Cincinnati, a classic. Colts-Jaguars, Buffalo-Houston, Miami-New England. It was a shitty game, but it still went right down to the wire. Then you get into the late window. Seahawks-Giants go right down to it. Arizona with a comeback win. The Rams made a little bit of a push against the Packers. So that was Red Zone at its absolute peak. I don't know if we're going to have a better witching hour than that all season. So a great day of NFL viewing yesterday. My second biggest winner, Lamar Jackson, playing like an MVP once again. Three straight wins for the Ravens after that slow start. Do you see the stat line this guy put out there? 348 passing yards, four touchdowns, passes, ran for 55 yards. One of the best highlights of his entire career in that game versus the Bengals, too. Down by 10, 5 minutes left, bad snap, picks it up, evades a pass rusher, leaping pass off 1 foot, finds the receiver in the back of the end zone for a touchdown, complete and total madness. Then Dak Prescott, let's give him a little bit of credit, guys. This could have went either way. We would have been killing this guy had the Cowboys lost that game. But it's not how you start. It is how you finish. A couple bad interceptions for him. But then he led two touchdown drives for the Cowboys in the fourth quarter. Of course, most importantly, the one with 20 seconds left, the touchdown pass to end the game, to win the game. You know, that was a difficult environment for him. Sunday night in Pittsburgh, pretty rowdy crowd there. Game went late into the evening. Obviously, I did not make it to halftime. Watch the highlights this morning, but we'll give Dak a little bit of credit. It's not how you start, it is how you finish. Congratulations to the Dallas Cowboys on the win. Jingles, your biggest winners of the week here, or of the day yesterday.
Just looking at Bobby Newport saying, biggest losers, NFL coaches continually not understanding how time works and math. I don't know if he's referring to the Mike Tomlin time, but I'll get to that later. That was, I didn't understand that one. The Bills play calling at the end. I don't know if it was the play calling or it was just Josh Allen trying to go deep every play on his own 3-yard line. I don't know who that was on, but we got to give, speaking of Dak, we rolled Daniel Jones down the hill pretty much through weeks one, through weeks two. All of a sudden, I mean, the Dallas game was a short week. I don't know. It was competitive. Like, he looked great. He was getting the ball out and almost a perfect completion percentage in the first half of that game. Then he rolls in this week. Lumen Field on the road. 29-20 win. Obviously, the field goal helps. But he did just enough to win. No turnovers. Didn't trail in the second half. All of a sudden, Cincinnati, Philly, Pittsburgh, Washington, Carolina before the bye. Can the Giants get to 500? Right? In a division, I mean, Washington will go down. But can the Giants finish ahead of, like, the Cowboys or maybe Philadelphia somewhere down that line? I don't know. Those teams are not good, and we'll see what Philadelphia team we get out of the bye in week six. Baltimore, Cincinnati, anybody watching that game was just an absolute perfect football game to watch. 41-38, 962 yards of offense, just 45 yards in penalties. Thank you very much. And the second half was just an absolute pleasure to watch. Six straight possessions with a touchdown, interception, that Burrow interception. I mean, there's a lot of talk on that. Game time, 56-yard field goal. The Lamar fumble, that was ugly for anybody backing Baltimore, but the people who had the Baltimore minus 2.5 breathed a sigh of relief. And how about Joe Flacco? Honestly, are we at a point where maybe Anthony Richardson isn't the starting quarterback if everybody's healthy in Indy? All he's done over the last 2 weeks has been absolutely go off. 33 for 44 for 359. That was this week, 3 touchdowns. 7.5 yards per pass attempt. You know who that ties him with? Mahomes and Dak Prescott. Guys making $4.5
million. Wacko for Flacco. The man is elite. Okay, let's get negative. My three biggest losers of the day yesterday. I got to start with Aaron Rodgers here. That was his worst game of the season. Who could have predicted that? Oh, yeah. Me, the guy who hasn't been good for 3 seasons. He barely completes 50% of his passes. He throws 3 interceptions, including the game clincher for the Minnesota Vikings, a really bad pass. So he killed them in that game. The Vikings tried to give that game away. Sam Darnold was not good. You know, you often want to point to Robert Saleh and Nathaniel Hackett. They weren't good yesterday by any means, but I think that loss is 100% on Aaron Rodgers. So the Jets now with a losing record on the season. They got the Bills, Steelers, Texans coming up in the next couple of weeks here. So the wheels could be ready to fall off there for the New York Jets. My second biggest loser, the Buffalo Bills, just an extremely stupid loss by Buffalo yesterday. So here's the situation, 2020 game. They're on their own 3-yard line with 32 seconds remaining, thinking, yeah, let's just run the clock here, play, go to overtime. We're probably not going to score here. No. Three straight incomplete passes. Texans get the ball back, kick a field goal, win the game. So check out this stat per ESPN research. The Bills are the only team in the last 45 years to be tied or leading in the final minute of the game inside their own 5-yard line and throw 3 straight passes. That's how stupid of a decision that was. There's no guarantee that they were going to win in overtime, but they would have had a much better chance. And then my third biggest loser, the Cincinnati Bengals. Yeah, they looked awesome on offense. Ja'Marr Chase was fantastic, but how much more of a hole do you want to put yourself in here, Bengals? They're now 1-4 on the season. 3 separate times in the second half, they had a 10-point lead in that game. They had the opportunity to kick the field goal in overtime to win the game. Wasn't to be. It's a pretty big hole, 1-4, Cincinnati Bengals. And dishonorable mention goes to the New England Patriots. Now, whoever lost that game between them and the Dolphins, the Toilet Bowl would have gotten dishonorable mention from me here. But 12 penalties for 105 yards. The Dolphins tried to give them that game, fumbling the ball, snaps, missing field goals. Just absolutely the ugliest game of the season. I hope we don't get an uglier game all season. And like a complete asshole, I have that game on my second screen because I'm still a loyal Dolphins fan, for God's sakes. But they won. Only one game out of first place. Fins up going into the bye here. Jingles, your biggest losers of the day yesterday.
I mean, after the Buffalo stuff, like, that division's just in turmoil too. So we'll see what happens with the AFC East. But Jordan Mason, I mean, the guy had 200 carries with no fumbles. And all of a sudden, when I'm on the over, when I'm on San Francisco minus 7, when they finally get things going, they've lost their kicker. Jordan Mason decides to fumble and lose the ball in a 23-21 game on the 8-yard line. Arizona goes down, kicks field goal, wins the game. Awful beat. Lost a lot of money on that game.
I had the over in that game. I gave that out on the show. I was feeling pretty damn good about that at halftime. Nope, not to be.
No, it's the same thing. Like, I loved it. There was a ton of scoring. I mean, San Francisco was held without a point in the second half of that game. Like, how does that happen versus Arizona? It was a frustrating loss. There was just enough glimmer of hope. If you're better and you know those, and you're just like, oh, I got another chance. Like the Baltimore win. I got another chance. They're driving. They're putting it together. First and goal on the 8, and a fumble on the other way, right? It couldn't have gone like the Lamar fumble where he picked it up. It couldn't have gone like the fumble that Dak Prescott picked it up. Nope. Sorry, we lose it, and you lose the game. Hitman's under 11.5 wins, looking even better again, ooh, heading into week 6. Mike Tomlin's timeout. I don't know if this is just a football thing or me just as a degenerate better, and I wanted George Pickens to get some action and garbage time down the stretch. But to call a timeout after Pittsburgh's timeout on 4th and whatever, on the 3, 4th down on the 3, I know you wanted to line up your defense properly, but there was 26 seconds left on the clock. Why are you not saving that to go if they – I mean, that one was super frustrating to go tie the game. I don't know. Mike Tomlin just pisses me off a lot despite the wins. He just gets lucky, I think, in terms of how their win-loss record looks in their games, because that performance last night was brutal. And the Seahawks, I mean, that each week, Joe, it's like, how much worse can people get beat on these survivors? And losing San Francisco and Seattle is just embarrassing. And like, it's back. Like, is Daniel Jones good? I'm not sure. They had no Singletary. They had no Malik Nabers, but you let Tyrone Tracy and Eric Gray combine for 180 total yards and Darius Slayton going for 8, 122, and 1. What's up with Seattle? We knew last week that, or 2 weeks ago, that them going across the country maybe is a tough spot. They played nobody, but now we kind of have a better view of who the Seahawks are, and it's not pretty.
John Mettler in the chat saying, I'm in Cleveland. You guys want a Deshaun Watson jersey? The Browns are so bad that we don't even bother mentioning them in the biggest loser section. And this is what the Cleveland Browns get. You made a deal with Deshaun Watson. Everything that was known about that guy, and you trade all those draft picks and give him all that. You were that desperate, Cleveland Browns? This is karma biting back hard. They're getting exactly what they deserve. Watson is washed, and they're sticking with him at quarterback. I guarantee they're probably making Stefanski. They don't want to throw in the towel, because they throw in the towel on Watson, they're admitting they lose. They're admitting that one of the worst trades in NFL history, one of the worst deals. Absolutely brutal.
But did you see him walk off the field and take that delay a game penalty?
No, I tried not to.
It was like 4th and goal on the 8. I think it was like 30. Sorry, like, I don't know. They were down multiple scores early in the third quarter. And everybody's crapping on Deshaun. But he had 12 men in the huddle. Someone came out, so he had to walk off the field. They had to settle for the field goal. But I know we give Deshaun a lot of crap. I think he's the first Cleveland quarterback in 5 years to go no 200-yard games in weeks 1 through 5. And that is a laundry list of garbage Cleveland guys. We might have Russell Wilson start next week. We haven't even talked about that. But Deshaun sucks, but I don't think you need to pile on him over taking that delay game penalty.
All right, Josh Ingles, Deshaun Watson apologist. Not very popular. We'll get into our Monday Night Football picks here in a second. Arthur Dominguez says, would argue that the Bengals were a bigger loser than the Bills yesterday, turned the Ravens over in overtime, then decided to run the ball 3 times and settle for a 53-yard field goal. Yeah, that's a good point by him. That's fair. Yeah, and the fact that they're 1-4. How much more of a hole do they want to get in? So, yeah, the Bengals are playing in these exciting games, but they're losing. 1-4, they had a -5 point differential. This old guy Baker get the hell out of there. Yeah, it's so that's a joke of a franchise. Remember the general manager says we wanted an adult at the quarterback position, and they bring in Deshaun Watson?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Baker balling out, one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL so far this season. All right, let's get into tonight's game here, Jingles. I have 2 bets. Is it 1 bet or 2 that you have for tonight?
I just got 1.
Just the one. Okay, let me get started here. Let's go with this guy, Travis Kelce. You guys might have heard of him. I like him to have a good game here tonight. I'm going to go over on his receiving yard total, 58 and a half yards. I think that's a pretty modest number. He is trending in the right direction here. He caught 7 balls for 89 yards in week 4. He had a season-high 9 targets in that game. Now, for what it's worth, he also got off to a pretty slow start last season. Weeks 5 and 6, he had back-to-back 100-yard games. Pretty good matchup for him. New Orleans allowing a lot of yards per catch to the tight end position. 12.7 to be exact. Don't be surprised to see him break a few big ones. And at the very least, they need to attempt to make him the centerpiece of this offense once again. We know Rashee Rice is gone. He leads the team with 29 targets on the season. They need to make that up somewhere, as I think Kelce can bite into those targets and have a decent game here tonight and at least go over 58 and a half receiving yards. Jingles, your favorite prop for this game? It's a little dinky one.
I know. I hope I'm not getting too cute here, bud. But like you said, Riceless offense. It's time for Andy Reid to get creative, and I think that's what we get with Xavier Worthy over 2.5 rushing yards, minus 110. Got cute last week in week 4 with Trey Tucker over 0.5 at plus money. That cashed. I like this one. He's had a rushing attempt and gone over this number in weeks 1, weeks 2, weeks 3. Didn't have a carry last week, but like I said, things are going to change within this offense. The steal fumble changes things within the backfield. Clyde Edwards-Helaire likely out. They need to get Worthy the ball, and the best way to do it is on end-arounds, running plays, might even put him in the backfield. There could be some situations like that. I mean, and usage is great, right? Like, it's not like I'm out here asking for Justin Watson usage because, I mean, he leads all wide receivers in snaps and snap share, and it increased in week 4. So there's a lot to like about Worthy. I don't know if he'll have a big game, but I know they'll draw up something where he can get the ball. So hopefully we can get creative and get over 2.5 rushing yards. I hope he doesn't lose rushing yards. You know what I mean? On that end around, it's such a scary play. Like, if he can get it or not get it.
Oh, yeah. That can sink the bet totally if that happens. Oh, yeah. So we shall see. We'll be looking for him out of the backfield tonight. Another guy in the Kansas City Chiefs that I'll be looking for out of the backfield is Kareem Hunt. I think he can stuff the statue at least a little bit here and go over this rushing yard total of 44 and a half yards. So, first of all, this is just as much about the New Orleans Saints defense. They're getting dominated on the ground. 30th in yards allowed per rush attempt over their last 3 games. Now, he didn't miss a beat in his return to action last week. He had 69 rushing yards on 14 attempts. And I think maybe he's due for a boost in carries after that 14 attempts there last week. Because the Chiefs, as we know, very limited here in the backfield. P. Ryan and Carson Steele combined for just 7 carries in that game last week. Carson Steele fumbling all over the place. And, you know, Hunt got that one game under his belt, maybe shook some rest, of which there didn't appear to be much at all. So, yeah, look for him to be involved in this one and go over that 44 and a half rushing yard number. Okay, Brad Powers coming right up here in a couple of minutes here, but let's jump into these Major League Baseball games tonight. There's 2 of them. So let's discuss these quickly. Once again, I have 2. You have 1, correct?
Correct.
Correct. Okay, so let's start with the early game. We have Cleveland taking on Detroit. I'm going to go with a good old-fashioned full game money line bet. How about that? And meat and potatoes bet here. I'm going to go with the Guardians just to win this game. Plus 110 on their home field. So 2 left-handed starters on the mound here for this game. And here's the thing. Cleveland crushes left-handed pitching, and left-handed pitching crushes Detroit. Cleveland's 2nd in OPS versus lefties since September 1st. Detroit 25th. And yes, I get it. All left-handed pitching isn't created equal. Skubal on the mound here for the Tigers, one of the best pitchers in baseball. But the Guardians, one time they faced him this season, they rocked him for 10 hits in that game. Meanwhile, Matthew Boyd, I think he can keep the Tigers at bay here. 2 earned runs or less in 7 of his 8 starts this season. Then we know when Cleveland gets to the bullpen, just absolutely game light over stuff here. Yeah, a 1.31 ERA since September 1st. So the Guardians, yeah, I like my plus money on their home field here. Jingles, your best bet for this game?
Yeah, Crazy Carl saying alt rushing for Worthy 30 plus at 10-1. Probably not something you want. I mean, yeah,
break one big one.
2.5 to 25 is massive, and I think it's worth certainly more than that. I would stay away. I'd just probably go more on the 2.5. But kind of same thing. Tigers, team total under 2.5, plus 135, I believe. There is a 3.5, about minus 140, but I like this number a little better because you're going to get Boyd. You're going to get Boyd quick, maybe four innings. And then you just turn over to the best bullpen in all of baseball, and it's not even close how good this bullpen is. Manuel Clase finished with like a 0.69 ERA all year. They can throw basically a half dozen of sub-2 ERA relievers at you out of this bullpen. They don't need much. And what I like about it is because Scooble is favored, and it's favored mainly just because of the pitching matchup, just because of Scooble, that there is some value on Detroit team total under in the spot because they have to put them higher than the Guardians in terms of where they put the projected run value for the book. So under 2.5 plus 135, Cleveland bullpen lights out. Sorry, Johnny. Could be Bill a fast says, case.
Bill M says betting MLB money lines 3 hours before tip. It's a betting show we're doing here, Bill.
Come on, Bill.
What do you want? Pass on the big game? No, that's not how we do things, man. Brad's coming on here in 1 second. One more bet for Major League Baseball. Carlos Rodon in the Yankees game. I like him to have over 15.5 outs. Plus money on this one as well. I think this is a great spot. Yankees not necessarily one of these teams that's in a rush to get to their bullpen. So he's red hot against this number. He's on an 11-1 pair against this number of 15.5 outs, including 8-0 at home. He's had pretty good success against this lineup. Royals hitters have combined for just 5 extra base hits and 101 combined at-bats against him. And they're awful against left-handed pitching. They were dead last in OPS over the last month of the regular season against lefties. So Rodon over 15.5 outs. Let's go, Yankees. I guess I would like to see a Yankees-Dodgers World Series playoff baseball in New York. I don't like the Yankees, but it's tense. It's a great environment. I do think that would be great for baseball. Otani, I think we're witnessing the Michael Jordan of baseball right before our very eyes. Let's see if he can continue what he did in game one of that series. Very impressive stuff. But Jingles, that's it for NFL, Major League Baseball today. You're going to be right back with us on Thursday, but you got a lot going on here at Covers. Tell the people about it.
I mean, we've got the bat release shows for MLB playoffs right up until the end. And then hockey plays. I got beat up in the global series, but we'll be back Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Going there. Lots of stuff coming out. Basically, just follow me and there'll be some plays. So appreciate everybody there in the chat. Ryan McGee, let me know what that means. I don't know. You're not going to hurt my feelings either way, but good luck. Brad's coming up. Boys are excited. Have a great day, Joe. Got afternoon playoff baseball. Who doesn't love it, pal?
Let's go. Let's go. All right, buddy. Best of luck with your bets. We'll catch you on Thursday.
Cheers.
Yes, sir. What a great time to be a sports fan, a sports bettor. Okay, let's not waste any time. Let's go down to our guy in sunny Las Vegas, Brad Powers, out on the heels of a crazy weekend in college football. Brad, how you making out?
Yeah, doing better than Alabama fan on this fine Monday.
Yeah, we're absolutely going to be covering that. Okay, so let's start like we always do on your Monday appearance. Your two biggest takeaways out of the weekend.
Well, you kind of hit it. Typical college football. We thought last week's slate was going to be arguably maybe the weakest slate of games as far as television aspect of the entire season, and it might turn out to be the most memorable week of the season. We have 9 upsets of a touchdown or more, 5 of them involving ranked teams. Obviously, you're going to ask me about Alabama and the Tennessee, the two big ones here, but I want to focus on one in particular, Minnesota beating USC. Lincoln Riley, I tweeted this and I got a lot of play. I don't think he signed up to play Big Ten football. It doesn't fit his style of play. He thought he could probably beat up on the Pac-12 when he originally took that job 3 years ago. He's 11-9 in his last 20 games. I'm not sure it gets better. They're a home underdog to Penn State this week. They still have Notre Dame. They have to go to Washington. They have Nebraska, a physical Rutgers team. I think he's staring down a 7-5 type of season yet again, Lincoln Riley. So, I'm not buying the Trojans, to say the least. Not buying Lincoln Riley long-term in Southern California.
Okay, let's talk about this Alabama loss to Vanderbilt. You know, how do you make sense of it? Favorite by 23 points. They never had a lead in that game. Vandy beats them for the first time in 40 years. 418 yards of total offense for Vandy, who are 12 of 18 on third down. So I just, you know, I saw the result take place and I say, well, what is this? Just an extreme letdown spot after that Alabama, that crazy win they had over Georgia. Is that factor into it? What do you think? Who's to blame for this loss?
I think it's three things. Number one, it was obviously a letdown spot. I mean, you're coming off the big win against Georgia. You got a, you know, a young staff, or at least a first year staff there. They're excited that they got the big win when they weren't expected to. You're playing Vanderbilt, Vandy, you know, that leaves a lot to be desired as far as grabbing the attentions of your players. But on the field, this is the worst Alabama defense in 20 years. We kind of thought that it would take a major step back coming into the season. Then they played okay to start the season. We saw the start of the Georgia game, but man, that second half was rough and obviously carried over to this Vanderbilt game. And speaking of Vanderbilt, I think the major reason why it happened, we could talk letdown, Alabama defense stinks. Vanderbilt's not Vanderbilt. I mean, this is a much improved team. I mean, they beat Virginia Tech in the opener, upset them as a 2-touchdown underdog. Probably should have beaten Missouri a few weeks ago. Lost in overtime. They missed a field goal. Otherwise, they'd have pulled that up as a 17-point underdog. So this isn't the same old Vandy. They got a great transfer quarterback. They got a coach that's kind of in the weeds in Jerry Kill as an assistant. They hired a new offense coordinator. That's a brilliant mind in Tim Beck. So Vanderbilt, I'm not sure that they're done pulling upsets this year. I could see another one or two with them. Not this week, though, against Kentucky.
Okay. Another big upset. The Tennessee Volunteers lose to Arkansas. They were a 14-point favorite. They didn't score for the final 22 minutes of that game. Now, they were getting a ton of buzz here, deservedly so. They were off to a great start, 4-0, a lot of lopsided wins. They were looking like a rock solid bet for the playoffs. I think they're on even money to get into the playoff now. But how much trouble are they in now? They still have games on their schedule versus Alabama and Georgia remaining. So your future outlook here for Tennessee.
I think they'll be okay. I mean, just to put in perspective, I bet them this week against Florida. So I'm not overly concerned. I think they come right back at it and blow out Florida this week. So I still have them favored at home against Alabama. Obviously, that one looks more winnable because of the Alabama result. They do have to play Georgia on the road. They'll be a sizable underdog. But the question is, you know, when you're betting a playoff, does 10-2 get them in? I think it does. I mean, I'm going to give the SEC teams a benefit of the doubt at 10-2 just because the strength of schedules are going to be there. If you give me the right price, you know, plus 130-ish to make the playoff, I wouldn't mind that bet on Tennessee right now. I'm not in full panic mode with them.
Okay, let's talk Heisman. Heisman odds, always big shakeup from week to week, right? And so we have a running back and a wide receiver at the top of the Heisman Futures odds board. Ashton Jeanty is the new favorite after a 3-touchdown, 186-yard performance. He didn't even play in the second half of that game. Travis Hunter, not far off, but we know that futures betting, no matter what market you're in, it's all about timing. So my question is now the time to target a quarterback? Because this is typically an award that goes to quarterbacks. They've won it 12 of the last 14 years. You know, I look at Cam Ward sitting there 5-1 to win the award, undefeated this season, stuffing the stat sheet. No ranked opponents left. I don't know if that might be something that might get held against him, maybe easy competition. But what do you think? Is now the time to target a quarterback in Heisman Futures odds?
I hear you on Cam Ward. It's just, I mean, Miami's two plays away from, I mean, people wanting to, you know, run the coach out of town, you know, put him on a path to that hurricane that's coming in. I mean, that's how bad it would be if you just changed two plays in their game. So, yeah, I mean, Cam Ward looks great statistically. I think this team's going to get upset once or twice. Louisville maybe next week. So I'm not in on Cam Ward. Although I think you're asking a really good question here, because obviously this is a big time schedule as far as this week in college football. Plenty of marquee matchups. The biggest one, arguably, Oregon, Ohio State. I don't have a bet in that game right now. But if you like a particular side, particularly the Oregon side, if you think the Ducks win the game, diversify your portfolio. Dylan Gabriel, the quarterback's 15-1. If he plays great, they upset the Buckeyes, which is possible. They're only a 4-point home underdog. He might jump to the, you know, to the very top and become the Heisman favorite like that after one performance. So Dylan Gabriel, I think, is a solid bet, 15-1. Don't forget about Carson Beck. I know he played awful against Alabama for a half, but they still got three big time games left. Starting next week against Texas, they play Ole Miss, then they play Tennessee. I mean, if he plays what, like he did in the second half against Alabama, puts up big numbers. I mean, Carson Beck at 25-1 wouldn't be too bad on what I still believe is one of the best teams in the country.
Big shifts week to week in Heisman odds. Okay, so I think we've been doing a fun thing every Monday appearance here as we take a look at this market. Will they, won't they make the playoff? I throw a plus money team at you today. Let's discuss Texas A&M. So they're plus 150 to get into the playoff. They did not get off to a great start to the season. They lose to Notre Dame. But I've since gone 5-0. Big time statement win over Missouri on Saturday. They have LSU and Texas remaining on their schedule for their more difficult opponents. What do you think of that bet? Texas A&M plus 150 to make the college football playoff.
For a guy that says he doesn't follow college football too much, you do ask the right teams on this segment each week.
I do my research.
It is intriguing because you look at the schedule, they get their major games at home. LSU, Texas, both at Kyle Field. Last I checked, Kyle Field's a pretty tough place to play. Ask Missouri. They got some momentum. I really like their coach, Mike Elko. They got their quarterback back healthy last week. So they're going to be favoring every game but one, that being the rival game against Texas in the finale, again at home. I think it's an okay bet at plus 150. And again, I think at 10, even if they lost to like Texas in the finale, I still think they get in at 10-2 because your losses are to Texas and Notre Dame. I just, a couple of sneaky road games that gives me a little hesitancy would be at South Carolina and at Auburn. I know both teams just lost, but it's the SEC. It's tough to win on the road, but I think it's, you're asking the right team because that's a team probably worth looking at this week because obviously the arrow's way up right now with them.
All right, let's go Aggies. Okay, let's get into a couple best bets here. Brad has two of them trying to get ahead of some of this line movement. Let's start with Memphis. They're favored by 7 points and you like them to cover this weekend.
Yeah, Memphis minus 7. It's a Friday night game. Full disclosure, there is a chance this game, probably a greater than 50% chance this game gets canceled because of the hurricane coming to South Florida. That's one of the reasons why I bet it, because, I mean, obviously they got classes canceled. There might be preparation issues for South Florida if they happen to play the game. If they don't play the game, it gets moved to Memphis or gets moved to Saturday. I'm telling you, go right ahead and bet Memphis again. If you get that bet voided, go back and bet Memphis. Why? Not necessarily hurricane prep. I actually think their starting quarterback doesn't play in this game, and that is not priced in properly in the market. He got hurt at the end of last 2 weeks ago in their last game against Tulane. Kind of got forgotten in the market because South Florida didn't play last week. He was in a walking boot. They've been quiet for the last 2 weeks. Usually I tend to think that when you're quiet, that means bad news because if he's fine, you're just going to say, oh, he's fine. He's going to play this week. I mean, so I really like Memphis. If the game gets moved, it gets rescheduled, bet Memphis against South Florida. Let's lay 7.
Okay. Last but not least, we have another favorite. We have Utah favored by 5.5 points, and you like them as well.
Yeah, two things here. Spot play, I like Utah off a loss, off a bye. So I think it's got to be their spot here if they want to, you know, achieve preseason expectations, that being, you know, be the Big 12 champion after that loss against Arizona. And two, I'd have to think if Cam Rising's going to play this year, he's been out the last couple of games. They're off a bye week. If he's going to play, it'd be this spot coming off the bye if he's healthy. So if he does play, this line's only going to go up. It's another Friday night game. Because I do anticipate him playing, let's get in front of the line, move here and lay 5.5 with Utah.
Okay, Brad, let's end with this. Everyone is dying to know the NHL season getting underway here this week. Who's your pick for the Stanley Cup?
I don't know. I have not bet the NHL in about 6 years. Last time I bet them, I lost a ton of money. I would bet against the Golden Knights their first year here.
Yeah.
And the prices were crazy on them because everyone was betting them because the sportsbooks were losing money. I tend to think the sportsbooks long-term don't lose money. So after I got my teeth kicked in, I no longer wanted to make hockey bets. So I couldn't even tell you. What's your pick? I'm anxious to know.
I don't follow hockey as close as I used to. I will go with Dallas over Carolina.
Wow.
So, yeah, Dallas over Carolina.
I couldn't even tell you the nicknames of those teams. Is it? I think Carolina Hurricanes, Dallas Stars.
Yeah, the Hurricanes. That was lucky. Down there, too. It's funny, the markets where these NHL teams, the Florida Panthers, you know, the Vegas Golden Knights, you know, it's fun. They have hockey in all these places where people don't play actual ice hockey for the most part. You wouldn't think, right? So
this is a hockey town. I don't think people realize it. Like, you go to any sports bar and it's hockey season, hockey games are going to be on over NFL games. That's how ridiculous it is here.
So do you think Vegas, the city of Las Vegas, do you think it is because that was like the first pro sports team? So people just kind of attached themselves to that?
First pro, it's a couple things. I don't want to go too long, but first pro sports team, they call it Vegas born. There was a tragedy that happened right before it, the shooting here, and kind of the Vegas Golden Knights kind of rallied the city, and they rallied around it. And probably most importantly, they won immediately. They're a winner. So, I mean, everybody loves a winner. They don't care where you're from. I mean, they'd love the Raiders if they won here, I bet. But they don't, and they won't.
Do you think Las Vegas will rally around, which will eventually be the new baseball team, the Oakland A's, moving there in a couple of years?
I have my doubts on that. Number one, it's a, you know, a losing franchise. I don't know if they'll spend any money. So that one is a tough sell.
It's 81 regular season games too at home, right? So,
and nobody wants to go out in the middle of the summer here. It's too hot. I know it's going to be covered and all that. It's just, it won't be a great home field advantage. Now, a lot of the opposing fans, the Yankees, the Red Sox, whoever wants to travel here, they're going to love that. So obviously it's a great place to visit, but it won't be a good home stadium advantage. I can tell you that.
Yeah, I look forward to going. I like the in-stadium experience for Major League Baseball games, and you know,
I do too.
And Las, there's always stuff to do in Las Vegas. Absolutely, you know, some of these shows and stuff are very expensive, and if you can get into a ball game for a reasonable price, not too far from the Las Vegas Strip, I think it's going to be a blast. I do wonder though if they're going to keep the name the A's. The Las Vegas A's has a good ring to it. But I wonder if they're
going to... Yeah, the Aces, the A's, I guess. I always like their colors. So, I mean, obviously, I like color schemes. So hopefully they keep it and don't change it up.
Yeah, let's go. All right. So let's leave it at that, Brad. But we have a lot of big games to discuss here on your appearance on Friday's show. So thank you for joining today. Best of luck with those bets. Best of luck with all your handicapping this week. And we'll speak to you again on Friday.
Right back at you, Joe. More best bets on Friday.
Yes, sir. Let's go. Man, right there. Okay. Yeah, just wrapping up the show. See, I was trying to be a smart ass by putting him on the spot because I know he doesn't follow hockey at all. Who's your pick to win the Stanley Cup, Brad? Then he threw it right back at me, and I had not thought of it until then. So do not rent your sports book to be betting the Dallas Stars and Carolina Hurricanes. Maybe I should have went the other way with that. Hurricanes over Stars. Hotbeds of hockey. We have a poll up in the live chat for the Monday Night Football game. 76% of you guys like the Saints, +5.5. Is this going to be one of those situations where square dogs have fleas? I don't know. Let's recap some of these bets here. A lot of big games in sports here for Monday night. We got Travis Kelce. This is from me, over 58.5 receiving yards. Kareem Hunt, over 44.5 rush yards. I like the Guardians at home. Full game money line. Carlos Rodon, over 15.5 outs. Jingles, just two from him. Tigers team total, under 2.5, +135. And Xavier Worthy, over 2.5 rushing yards, baby, -110. I kind of like that, you know, when they get, they're going to want to get that guy the ball in space, and maybe they do it out of the backfield here tonight. Yeah, let's leave it at that for today's show. Great show today. We have a great week of shows planned for you guys. Make sure you tune in tomorrow. Professional sports bettor Hitman will be with us. Talk a little bit futures markets and also get into some of his best bets for the week coming up. We're going to be covering the Major League Baseball playoff games. Then John Mettler, who's in Cleveland right now, he'll be by. We'll be discussing a couple NBA teams and their futures outlook for the upcoming NBA season, just a couple of weeks away. Thank you to all of you guys for tuning in. Thank you to my guests for joining. Thank you to producer Mick for producing. Thank you to BetMGM for sponsoring the show. Best of luck with all of your bets tonight, and we will catch you guys again tomorrow. Woo!